This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
DCR.
With the 20th pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the New York Giants select Kadarius Toney, wide receiver, Florida.
I think they got a guy they really wanted, and they got tremendous amount of value in return.
I like Toney the player a lot. I mean, I think his skill set and what they're going to ask him to do is something that they don't have.
Now you're going to wind up with the Bears pick, and you don't have to use it and compromise it on a quarterback. Now you can use it to make the team better around Daniel Jones.
Yeah, and you're going to need those draft picks, because guess what? If Daniel Jones does prove that he's your guy, eventually you're going to have to end up paying him. So you're going to need to be able to get good players on the cheap, and the draft is the best way to do it.
Those are really good problems to have.
This is DCR on 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, the big 7 o'clock hour, DCR, 98.7 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. And all guests on DCR, PRB is a Goodyear hotline. Mike Tenenbaum is going to join us at 7:35 this morning. One of the voices of the station, Mike Tenenbaum, hosted his show the other day. We'll find out how he did with that, and how the Giants did, and how the Jets did it. And I got to tell you guys, I think both of the GMs here yesterday did a great job. I think Joe Douglas did a masterful job in moving up 9 spots and not giving up a ton, getting the offensive lineman that they really wanted. I don't think the Giants on the fly, and there obviously were discussions with the Bears that if this guy's available, you know, Fields is available, we would consider trading back. But they did it quickly because the Eagles moved up. They take Smith. Giants move back. I thought both of the New York GMs did a masterful job yesterday.
I think Joe Douglas did a really good job. And I think the big takeaway from having Jordan Renan, that is, was this was a lot of Joe Judge.
Sure.
I mean, you can give Gettleman the credit, but Gettleman's track record is he doesn't trade back.
But listen, we're gonna destroy Gettleman when they make moves that you don't like, and I think rightfully so. When they make a move you like, and I understand that Joe Judge was probably a lot to do with the trade yesterday, but you still have to give Gettleman some credit here.
No, I'm not taking away from Dave Gettleman. I actually appreciate the fact that he's willing to adapt a little bit and take Joe Judge's input. It's important, man. Every one of these relationships now between coach and GM, they're lockstep. Like that's how teams are doing it now. I mean, even watching, you know, John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan last night on SVP, like they go hand in hand. These decisions are, you know, coach, GM sit down. What does the coach need? What players you like? And everyone's involved. They have to be on the same page.
No,
so I like the fact that Joe Judge is involved.
Yeah, and it feels like that's exactly what you have with the Giants, right? Because Jordan kind of alluded to it. The Giants are changing the way that they do business, and you're seeing it reflected in some of the moves that they made this offseason, being more aggressive in free agency, taking some guys that have more of an injury history. But you know what? You're doing with this to try to be aggressive in order to try to win football games. And I like the fact that Joe Judge is kind of being in the forefront of that. Like he's proven to us that he's capable of handling the job as a head coach with some of the situations that popped up in his first year and how he ended up going, you know, navigating those waters. So I appreciate what he brings to the table, and the fact that now it feels like he's on the same page with Dave Gettleman. Rick, you used the term lockstep. I think that's huge. That's very important to try to move this team forward. But most importantly, I feel comfortable that Joe Judge is leading this program forward. It doesn't feel like he's following Dave Gettleman. It feels like Joe Judge is kind of at the forefront of this thing. And I think that's the way it needs to be, because that's what's going to lead to the Giants being where they want to be.
And Renan said an interesting point, and when you think about it, he's right. They wanted a receiver. Like, it feels like the entire way they were going to go after a receiver, because they could have had Slater, who I know they liked, but they didn't take him. They could have had Parsons. They didn't take him. They traded back. They could have had Pay. They didn't take him. I think their intent the entire time was to add another weapon for Daniel Jones.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what they were trying to do. In someone with a similar, I mean, we heard the entire time that Jalen Waddle was the guy that they preferred the most, right?
Yep.
And, I mean, Toney is, he's not Jalen Waddle, but it's a very similar skill set.
Yeah.
Like, they had a type of receiver that they wanted to add to the group that they have currently.
Yeah, it's going to be a receiver that's going to be an outlet for Daniel Jones. Somebody that can work the short to intermediate zones in between the numbers. Somebody that's going to present a target for Daniel Jones early in the down. He can dump it off to him for a pass, you know, 5 to 10 yards, and that guy can take it 30 to 40 yards. Like, he also brings that big play potential. Somebody that's got a lot of make or miss. And let's be honest, the Giants offense last year wasn't an explosive offense. I mean, that was one of the areas that they really struggled to create big plays. This guy is a big play waiting to happen. So being able to introduce that element to your offense, along with Saquon Barkley coming back, along with Kenny Golladay in free agency, I mean, it's just going to make life a whole lot easier for Daniel Jones. And that was the priority for the Giants the entire offseason.
But you just mentioned it, Chris. Think about that. Right? Shepard is fine. Ingram is fine. Slayton is fine. Those are all decent to good pieces. You added from week two last year to now, Kenny Golladay, who has the potential to be an excellent receiver, Tony, who, you know, the upside is tremendous, and Saquon Barkley. That's a lot of offensive talent to add to this team.
Yeah, there's no way that the Giants can be 31st in offense again this year. There's no way that that's possible. I mean, you got a top 10 defense already. Like, the offense was the area of concern. And you've addressed that in a big way in the first round. And, oh, by the way, you picked up another first-round pick in 2022 and an additional fourth- and fifth-round pick. I don't know how you can't love the move by Dave Gettleman. It addresses a major need for your team, but it also keeps an eye on the future. And guess what? I know a lot of Giants fans still want them to address the offensive line. Offensive line is one of the deepest positions in this draft. And you still got a lot of good offensive linemen on the board. You got Tevin Jenkins. You got the kid from North Dakota State. You got the kid from Texas. You right. got a bunch of good offensive linemen that fell out of the first round. So you'll have an opportunity at those guys.
There's somebody, I forget his name, from Wisconsin, Whitewater.
Oh, right? Yeah, exactly. That
that's
guy.
Be a good player as well. Yeah, you're going to get a good offensive lineman if that's where you choose to go. Now, Rick, I think your Jets did very, very well as well because they moved up. They get the offensive lineman that you know that they wanted. Here's Todd McShay on SVP saying that this Vera Tucker is a really good pickup for the Jets.
I love the Jets being able to trade back up and go get an offensive lineman, an Elijah Vera Tucker. And I talked to Joe Douglas, the general manager, early in the week, and he said, we've got to do for Zach Wilson, the quarterback that they took at number two, what was not done for Sam Darnold. We've got to protect him. And this is what they've done. And in a defensive league now where they're trying to get so much pressure up the middle, now you've got one of the premier offensive linemen. I think Vera Tucker could be a Pro Bowler. And I knew he was the guy that they wanted. I didn't think they were going to get high enough. Minnesota made the deal to move back from 14. And they've got 20 picks this year and next year coming into this draft. So they have plenty of draft capital to go make a move like this.
And you traded 2 threes, and you got back a four. You didn't even trade all that much to move up 9 spots in the first round.
Yeah, but they were never going to use all those picks.
No.
I know everyone loves having all these picks, but you're not going to use all the picks. It gives you the opportunity to do exactly what Joe Douglas did. They identified a player that they wanted. Board fell exactly how they needed it to fall, and they made their way up to 14 and got, I mean, I don't think he's overstating how good this can be when you plug him in right next to Mekhi Becton. I mean, you're talking about solidifying the left side of your line for God knows how long.
For 12 years.
How long?
14
years.
Yeah,
that's the hope.
Right? Yeah. You know, I always hear people say, well, you know, you've solidified this for 10 years. No. I mean, if these are going to be big-time players, it's not 10 years anymore. Zach Wilson's not going to be here for 10 years if he's good. In 10 years, he'll be what? 31, 32 years old? No. Mm-hmm. Now you draft a guy, and the thought is, if it pans out well, we're going to have him for 15 years.
But here's the thing, Dave. They're giving Zach Wilson every opportunity to pan out just because you have everybody in the organization on board with him being the second overall pick. The head coach, the general manager, that's something that Sam Darnold didn't have. Another thing that Sam Darnold didn't have was protection. And now you've got Mekhi Becton in place, and you're going to have AVT in place. You're giving the kid every opportunity to realize his full potential. That's what I love about what the Jets did last night. They're supporting their franchise quarterback the way that they should have supported Sam Darnold 3 years ago.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. It's time for a frenzy. A football frenzy.
You could say that 10,000 times and it still wouldn't be enough.
It fires me up, man.
I love
it.
Say it one more time.
A football frenzy. Any team, any player, any question.
All right, guys, let's roll. DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. Chris Canty, very excited for the post.
Let's go,
frenzy.
Dave. Let's go.
I can see it. All right, guys, let me just set the groundwork. No, no, hey, guys, love your show, Uncle Rico, none of that.
Hey, what's up? It's Jerry.
No, it's Jerry. Love the show. Thanks for being on. Thanks for waking up early. None of it. Right to your question, rapid fire. Mike Tenenbaum joining us at 7:35 this morning. Let's go down the line. Brian in Jersey, lead us off. You're on the frenzy.
Broncos starting quarterback week one, Drew Lock, Teddy B, or A.A. Ron?
It's a great question.
It is a great question.
I'm going to do it, guys. I'm going to do it. Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to say it. Aaron Rodgers is going to be their starting quarterback. I know they made the move for Teddy Bridgewater earlier this week. But I'm going to say it. Aaron Rodgers said he's not playing for the Packers. He's the MVP of the league. They could get an absolute haul if they decide they're going to trade him. It just makes sense if you're the Packers, if you're going to move it forward. If it's the relationship is irreparable, go ahead and move him. West Coast guy. They're not going to trade him in the conference, so you got to think it's an AFC West team. The Broncos make all the sense in the world.
All right, so let me ask you this, Rick. If he wound up with the Broncos, where do you put them as far as the landscape of the AFC? Are they right there with the Chiefs?
Well, I mean, don't bury the lead. It's a loaded AFC.
Well, I think we know that. We don't need to mention that all the time.
That becomes a real interesting division with what Kansas City did, and all of a sudden you're adding Aaron Rodgers
and the Chargers are on the way up, too.
Whew. They're right there. I mean, they got a good defense. They got a bunch of young offensive weapons. They'd be right there.
They would be right there? Wow. That would be crazy. David and Elizabeth. Good morning, Dave. You're on the frenzy.
Crap. You think the Jets are going with a running back or a quarterback in round two?
I hope
I mean,
not
they could use back. They could use the running back. They could use the cornerback. They could use I wouldn't mind another tackle.
Offensive lineman? Yeah.
Yeah. I would go offensive lineman or corner over a running back, but that's just me. I think you can get a more than serviceable running back later in the draft.
Yeah. I mean, a corner.
That kid Williams is good, though.
He's very good.
Yeah, Javonte Williams is a baller. But I will say this. I've been banging the drum for them to get a corner. But, I mean, the most important thing is protecting Zach Wilson. And with the board falling the way it has and these tackles falling out of the first round, I mean, you got four tackles with first-round grades that are available in the second round. Like, I can understand it if Joe Douglas continued to double down on the offensive line.
If you took, what's his name, Tevin Jenkins out of Oklahoma State?
You got Jenkins. Oh. You got Mayfield. I mean, there's a bunch to left.
You got Eichenberg,
Did you question what Jacksonville did yesterday with the running back?
I didn't love that.
Either of you guys.
Love that.
The one piece that I look at on that team and say, well, they have a pretty good this, is running back.
Agreed. The rookie showed out last year, Dave. I didn't think you needed to go with Travis Etienne at the 25th overall pick.
And we like Etienne.
It was all about reuniting college teammates yesterday. That's right.
Welcome aboard.
Theme of the draft.
Yeah, Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow, and then with the
Tua.
What the Jags did, right? Did you see the stat? We'll get to the Colts in a second. Did you see the stat where the Alabama had 8 first-round picks between last year and this year? 8?
It's a lot of first-round picks.
My God. And 4 receivers to go in the first round?
Dave, they've had 20 first-round picks in the last 5 years. 20.
Crazy. All right, let's continue along. Let's go to Craig and Harrison. Good morning, Craig. You're on the Friends.
Should the 49ers go with Elijah Moore, trade up to get another weapon, or should they sit back and get a cornerback to help that defense move back?
I think they got enough weapons. I look at that defense and say that defense needs a lot of help. Like, they got a lot of weapons on that offense. I think they're good with Kittle, Ayuk, Deebo Samuels. You got Mostert in the backfield. Weapons are good. They need to continue to fortify that defense.
Let's go to Tom in Northport. Good morning, Tom.
What are the Jets' biggest needs on day 2 and 3 of the draft?
I think they could use more help offensive line. They could use corner for sure.
Edge rusher
they need.
I still think you could use another receiver.
Could use a running back.
Yep. I mean, to be honest with you, they could use almost everything.
I mean, don't be disrespectful.
I'm not being disrespectful. Unless you take a quarterback, I don't think there's a pick that they're going to make. You'd be like, oh, God, that's just awful. I think they need almost everything.
Let's just enjoy the fact that they had both teams had really good first days, right?
Great days. And I said it all day that they were great.
It's still one of the worst. It's still one of the worst rosters, Rico. It's okay.
Jason in Vermont. Good morning, Jay.
Hey, guys. Where do you think the Seahawks go with the 56th overall pick?
It's a great question. Dave, why don't you take that one?
You want me to break that one down?
They better go with an offensive lineman, try to keep Russell Wilson happy. I know that.
There you go. Chris and I are thinking the exact same way. Two great minds. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Jonathan and Haslett. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Jay. Just one
No, it's fine. It's fine. He just said good morning. Not the end of the world. Come on, John. Go ahead.
Just let me know. Wait, would the Giants go inside linebacker today, or is it just O-lineman for them for the second round? Maybe get that kid from Notre Dame?
I don't know that he's going to be there at 42. If he's there at 42 and you get him, that would be a home run.
Run, don't walk, Dave, to turn the card in?
No, but unless there's just someone that's glaring that shouldn't be there that is, I think the Giants go offensive lineman at 42 today.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Offensive line.
Yep. Let's go to John in Fairfield. Good morning, John. You're on the Frenzy.
What pick was the biggest surprise to you guys last night?
But the Raiders taking Leatherwood was a surprise, Rick.
Yeah, but I mean Leatherwood in Vegas.
I know.
The Cowboys taking Micah Parsons at 12.
Yeah, what are they doing?
That was a
you trolling Santiago.
No, it's not a troll.
He's gonna snap.
It's not a troll. He's gonna snap.
He's calling out. He's calling out Denver. You cowards! Somebody draft Fields.
We saw peak Santiago last night.
Oh my gosh,
he was so upset. It was.
Dave,
so good.
Tell me you weren't scratching your heads when the Cowboys took Micah Parsons.
I loved it. I was thrilled.
Yeah, that's because you're a Giants fan.
Of course. You know, it's nice to be able to laugh at somebody every once in a while and not being laughed at. Mike in Jersey. Good morning, Mike.
What's up, guys? Love the fact that the Falcons kept the 4 pick and took the biggest can't-miss prospect in the draft in Kyle Pitts. Second round, guys, you think Javonte Williams would be a good pick for them, or you think they're going to go defense in that round?
They need help on defense.
Yes, they do.
I mean, they do. Their offense is going to be, especially they keep Julio Jones. I mean, good luck stopping that, but their defense is not good.
It's so bad, though, Rico. It would amount to throwing a pebble in the ocean, taking a second round, using a second round pick on that side of the ball. I mean, why not double down on your strength? Just go all in on your offense.
All in? We're going to be 40-37 next year?
Yeah. Whatever. I mean, listen, if you got to run the ball and control time of possession and do it that way, I mean, that's way to win games. Their defense is god-awful. I just don't know that just one click is going to be able to fix it or turn it around.
800-919-3776 as the frenzy continues along. Jerome in the car. Good morning, Jerome.
What do you guys think of the Tennessee Titans pick of Caleb Farley? And where do you think we end up going? What position we end up taking in the second round?
I love Caleb Farley. I love him. I mean, I don't like the fact that he had that back surgery this offseason. I think that's why he fell to where he did, where the Titans could get their hands on him. But Caleb Farley is the best man-to-man corner in his draft. And the Titans had a chance to get their hands on him in the 20s. So, I mean, I think that was a great pickup for them. And moving forward in the draft, I think the Titans have to continue to try to address the defensive side of the ball. Like, they need to add to that pass rush. So I would look at that area moving forward in day two.
And Farley would not have been there. Like, if he didn't have the injury, there's no way he would have been there into the 20s.
No shot.
Really good value. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Brian in Smithtown. Good morning, Brian. You're on the Frenzy.
Hey, out of all the QBs drafted last night, who gets the 20 wins first?
20 wins?
Trey Lance.
Yeah, well, he's in the best situation.
And depending on what happens with Jimmy G, I would keep Jimmy G.
Yeah, Mac Jones. Yeah, Mac Jones.
I don't know how much Mac Jones is going to play this year, though. Even if San Francisco keeps Jimmy Garoppolo, at some point he's probably going to get hurt.
Wow.
I think that's fair to say. He's always hurt.
You're right. It's the way you said it, though, Rico.
It's jarring.
It's just so matter of fact.
Yeah,
he's going to get hurt. So
it's jarring to hear it. But honesty is really appreciated. John and Brewster, close it out here, John. You're on the Frenzy.
So as a Raider fan, without Snark, what good could I actually take from our first-round pick?
He's a good player. I just think they way overdrafted him.
Yeah. Yeah. They drafted
him. Got a great last name.
Yeah, you're probably that's about the best takeaway, Rico. No, I'm serious. Like, they drafted him 20 spots higher than they had to. I don't get it. I don't know what the Raiders are doing. That you pick, the Damon Arnett pick that they had in the first round last year. I don't know what the hell Mike Mayock is doing with first round picks.
They have their own boards, and they will not be swayed from what they like. All right, Santy, blow it then, would you?
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Hey, it's Friday. Let's party tonight. Party, baby.
Oh, it is Friday. It's DCR with you, 98.7 ESPN, 1-800-919-3776. A lot of calls on the draft coming your way. But first, because I don't want to be late, because then he'll yell at me, and that's always a bad look. He is Mike Tenenbaum, right on time for our resident general manager. Good morning, Mike.
Morning, fellas. How you doing?
We're doing great. So I didn't know this, and RJ just kind of whispered it in my ear. Firstly, I want to know what you think about the trade for the Giants. But secondly, he told me you do not like the pick of Tony to the Giants. Is that right?
Yeah, I love the trade. I don't like the trade. I love the trade. I thought they did a great job, really maximized value to get a 1 and a 4 next year on a team that presumably won't be very good. I thought that was outstanding by Dave Gettleman. I just thought that when you look at the way the draft was falling and their roster, I'm a big Darius Slayton fan. I think he's a good young emerging player. They got Kenny Golladay. They have Sterling Shepard at least for a year. And, you know, we could call Evan Ingram a tight end, but he's really a receiver. And there's a ton of receivers in this year's draft. And when you look at Nate Solder is probably one and done at best for the Giants. And someone like Christian Darrisaw is there, or Quiddy Pay, the pass rusher. I just thought, given the depth of the receiver position, not only on the draft, but with the Giants and the fact that they needed a pass rusher and a tackle, I was surprised that they took Tony.
So let's fast forward now, moving forward. Is that something that you would obviously address in the second round then? They already made the decision. They went with the wide receiver skill set, helps on special teams. I know you don't like it, but now moving forward, is round two, is that where you would expect them to address either one of those, either pass rush or offensive line?
Yeah, absolutely, Rick. By the way, I do like Tony. Tony's a guy that, when you look at his build, he reminds me of Santana Moss. He's not tall, but he's really big from the waist down, and he does a lot behind the line of scrimmage, wide receiver screens, jet sweeps. He's also very smart because he lines up in a number of different positions. So it's not like I don't like the player. I just don't know if that – my concern if I'm the Giants is, like, will one of those tackles follow them, or a guy like Azeez Ojulari from Georgia who's still there, will he follow them? Because, look, it's been a long time since we could say, hey, the Giants have a great pass rush, and I just think – you know, there was a couple guys there that they could have taken. And again, it's not Tony isn't good. It's that there's so many good receivers in this year's draft.
Mike, I know we got a lot of Jets and Giants stuff to get into, but I got to ask you about the biggest story that came out of yesterday. And it had nothing to do with any of the college players being drafted. It had everything to do with the reigning MVP of the league and Aaron Rodgers. And he's letting it be known that he doesn't want to go back to Green Bay. I mean, the general manager flew out to visit him. The head coach flew out to visit him. They offered him a new contract. It seems like none of that is working. If you're Brian Gutekunst, how do you handle this situation moving forward?
Yeah, Chris, it's really difficult. I would have done the same thing. I would have taken my yellow pad, flying out, see Aaron Rodgers, and just keep asking him questions like, what can we do to make you happy, and just try to figure that out. And I think really what happened was, you know, it's one thing, Chris, to trade up for his replacement in Jordan Love last year to get a fourth-round pick. I think he was blindsided, and maybe in hindsight they should have called and said, hey, look, you know, we're going to draft Jordan Love here. We still think you're a good player. It sounds like that really has just turned him sideways. So this is a really difficult situation. You know, reportedly his fiance is an actress that, you know, being close to the West Coast makes sense. So now you start thinking about what AFC teams could that fit. That could be, you know, Las Vegas. That could be Denver. This is a very difficult situation for Green Bay.
Mike, and I want to ask you about something you just said, because you said the communication breakdown and them blindsiding Aaron Rodgers by taking Jordan Love last year kind of set all of this stuff in motion. I mean, is that something that teams just have to do nowadays in the NFL? Like, because we've seen it with Russell Wilson in Seattle. He wanted to have more input. We saw what happened with the Deshaun Watson situation in Houston and how that relationship devolved. Is that just doing business in the National Football League now? If you have an elite quarterback, he has to be involved in terms of the planning for the franchise moving forward?
Yeah, I think context is everything here, Chris, which is, you know, it's Aaron Rodgers. Like, he's been there for a long time. And, you know, ironically, I was very involved with this situation going back you know, a decade ago when Aaron Rodgers was drafted and we were able to trade for Brett Favre at the Jets because of it. But the point is, well, you have to tell people bad news or news that you know isn't going to sit well. I think there's just a way to handle it. And in this day and age, when you see things on social media, it's just exacerbating problems. But I totally agree. Make no mistake about it. I think when we saw what happened with Tom Brady, where he went someplace else, obviously had tremendous success, had a say on the roster. I'm sure Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, and obviously Aaron Rodgers took note of that and said, hey, you know, why can't I run the same play?
Mike Tannenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Mike, two-part question with the Jets now. You look at what the Giants got in return for moving up nine spots from the Bears. You look at what the Jets gave up. I mean, it's far different. I understand what's for a quarterback, but the Jets gave up far less to move up. So that's for starters. Did Joe Douglas kind of win that trade? And second of all, what do you think about the offensive lineman out of USC, Vera Tucker? You love him?
Yeah, I do. And I think if they put him on the left side, you know, they got him and Mekhi Becton, and that's a great foundation. You know, the only concern you would have with Zach Wilson is, again, we all have to retrain ourselves. Can he withstand the rigors of a 17-game regular season? You know, he's a little slightly built, and I think getting offensive linemen was a really smart move. You know, you could certainly quibble and say giving up two-thirds was a lot. You know, they did get a fourth back, and if Vera Tucker turns out to be a 10-year star, no one's going to complain about it down the road.
Mike, was there a pick yesterday in the first round that really surprised you?
Yeah, I would say Leatherwood from Alabama going to Vegas because they lost three offensive linemen, Gabe Jackson, Trent Brown, and Hudson. I just thought that Christian Darrisaw was the better tackle, so I was surprised that, you know, Las Vegas went in that direction.
Mike, it feels like after watching what the 49ers did at three yesterday that the whole Mac Jones conversation was a smokescreen that they put out after they traded up from 12 to 3. Can you let us know, like, some insight into why they would do something like that? Because it felt like Trey Lance was their guy the entire time.
Yeah, that certainly surprised me too, Chris. And here's the other thing. Well, we traded up for Mark Sanchez. We got some criticism, candidly, that was justifiable in terms of lack of experience. Only started 13 games his last season. And this is a massive, and I like Trey Lance, so don't get me wrong, but this is a massive risk. Trey Lance only has 318 pass attempts, and to give up two ones and a three is just, it's remarkable what they gave up for a player that played one game at the FCS level.
Mike Tannenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. How'd the Cowboys do yesterday? Trade down from 10 to 12, take Micah Parsons and collect a third round pick. How'd they do?
I thought it would have been a bad trade if Patrick Surtain was on the board, but since he wasn't and Denver took him, I thought it was smart. You know, it's ironic. Sean Lee is a Penn State linebacker. He retires and they replace him with another one. They're desperate for a corner guy. So, like, they're going to have trouble playing man-to-man on third down, getting off the field. I think that's a massive, massive position of need for them, and I just don't know how they're going to solve it. A lot of the good corners went last night.
Mike Tannenbaum joins us here on the show. Mike, I mean, the easy thing for me to do would be to ask you another draft-related question, but hey, we're friends, very close friends. I want to ask how it went, hosting your first ever radio show. How was it?
Yeah, I was. I think I was okay. Room for improvement, work in progress, maybe like a practice squatter with some upside.
Wow.
So you weren't thrilled then with your performance?
Yeah, I'm, you know, my own worst critic. You know, I thought things went well. We had great guests, you know, Mangini, Rex, Ernie, Sanchez, Joe Banner, Ray Farmer. I thought that went well, but, you know, always room for improvement.
Mike, what do you make of the Chicago Bears and their move to get Justin Fields yesterday?
By the way, do you guys know that I guess Chris didn't disagree with my analysis? I was hoping Chris would, like, follow it. Like, no, Mike, you exceeded expectations.
No, I think he agrees with you.
Chris can.
No, I'm not.
I think he agrees.
I'm not going to argue with you. I actually enjoyed the draft special that you had. I thought that segment with you and Rex Ryan was funny as hell, by the way. But, no, I wasn't gonna contradict you on the air, Mike. I'm not going to do that.
No.
I thought you were great, Mike.
No. In terms of Fields, you know, we talked about this quite a bit last night, guys. Did any division change more yesterday than the NFC North? Fields has a chance to be really good. And if Aaron Rodgers is graduating from Green Bay, who's the best team in the North? And who's the best quarterback? I mean, you can make an argument that the Bears literally overnight may be in the best situation in terms of the quarterback position in the NFC North. Who never in a million years did the four of us ever think we'd say that.
No, it's true. Now, you told us, I don't know if you remember this, you told us about a month ago that you thought the Bears could be the worst team in the NFL. You thought they were going to be horrendous. I've never wanted you to be right more than I do right at this moment. They get Fields. Do you think he plays right away, or do you think this is a team that has a subpar season?
Yeah, I like Fields. I think he plays really fast. And, you know, I just been around guys like Parcells and Belichick where, you know, and Chris, you know this, like, it's the locker room that's going to hold you accountable. But those guys will tell you that, hey, the best player is going to play. And I think Fields has so much more talent than Dalton or Foles that it's not going to take very long. The only thing that I would hold that up, in my opinion, would be how abbreviated is the offseason. Because, again, these are, you know, rookie quarterbacks. So I think Justin Fields has a chance really to be the best quarterback in that division and maybe for a while. And to me, what we saw yesterday was how good is Jordan Love going to be? Who's replacing Kirk Cousins? And is Jared Goff still a number one? And if I'm Chicago, I think things really changed for the better last night.
Mike Tannenbaum, the great Mike Tannenbaum, one of the better show hosts on the station, in my opinion.
Is that a shot, or are you just being nice to Mike?
A little bit of both. Mike, so Jets, second pick in the second round tonight. Where do you go? I mean, still a lot. I mean, tons of options. You got the running back sitting there. You got, you know, tackle sitting there, corner. What would you do if you were Joe Douglas?
Yeah, I would go pass rush. You know, again, I just think when you look at, you know, what they need, I like Aziz Ojulari. I'm surprised that he's still there. They certainly could go running back. That makes a ton of sense. So they could go in a lot of different directions. And give Joe Douglas credit for this, guys. As much as they paid a lot, and I agree they did for Vera Tucker, they did be able to hold on to the top of the second round, which, you know, that's hard to do. You know, I've been on the clock trying to make a trade, and I'm sure that wasn't easy. So, you know, we got to give them credit on that because the fact that they're sitting there with a high second-round pick is not an easy thing to do.
All right, Mike, listen, we appreciate it. Have a great weekend. You're back on the draft coverage tonight, aren't you? You're a busy guy.
Yeah, we're back at it here, 8 o'clock get up. And then we got the second and third round tonight. And hopefully you guys will tune in. I get some more feedback next week.
Well, what Rick thought you were great. Chris didn't want to argue with you. He probably thought you were subpar. But before I let you go, because I'm such a fan of yours and you have such energy this morning, how is that possible? You probably slept a couple hours.
Yeah,
you got get up and you got the draft tonight. It's so energized. Explain.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. You know, I take X2 Performance, X2, which is available at X2 Performance, an all-natural, clean energy drink. You go to x2performance.com and check it out.
Mike, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
All right, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Yep. There you have it. Mike Tannenbaum, who doesn't love the Giants taking the receiver, but does, in fact, like the receiver. So
yeah, that's more a position thing than a player thing.
See, when RJ said to me, he's like, he hated the pick. I was like, oh, God. Like, he doesn't like Tony. But it's not like he didn't like Tony. He just didn't like them taking a receiver in that spot.
But, I mean, we said this to open the show. I mean, it was clear. When you saw initially, before the draft happened last night, there was a bunch of different names that were being floated around, like potential players that the Giants were targeting. And it was the Alabama wide receivers. It was, you know, it could be Micah Parsons.
Like Slater. Slater.
Was one of the guys, Pay. Yeah. And then, I mean, you see how the board fell. I mean, Pay went 21, right? Like, it was clear they were going after a wide receiver. That's what they were targeting.
Listen, they didn't want Slater. They didn't want Parsons. They didn't want Pay. You could say whatever you want. They were in the market for a receiver. And they got probably the fourth best receiver that they wanted on their board. So that's what they got.
And when you say they, Dave, it feels like Joe Judge didn't want those guys. Joe Judge wanted Kadarius Toney for what he could do for Daniel Jones, but also what he could do for this team on special teams. And I don't know about you, but I feel so much better knowing that he's the one that's leading the organization rather than Dave Gettleman, Dave.
I don't know how you couldn't. I think you have to feel completely content with what Joe Judge is doing with this team right now. Now, 98.7 ESPN presents Clubhouse Confidential. On Thursday, May the 6th, which is next week already, we're giving away an inside look at the game with some of the best minds in all of baseball, featuring Alex Rodriguez, Matt Vasgersian, Buster Olney, and it's all hosted, all of it, the entire thing, by Don LaGreca. an exclusive VIP Zoom party talking all things New York baseball. We'll give away some great prizes in addition. To score your VIP access, be the first caller right now at 888-987-ESPN. And again, be the first caller right now, 888-987-3776. Clubhouse Confidential presented by PC Richard & Son and 98.7 ESPN. Let's get to some of the calls, 800-919-3776. By the way, Bart Scott will be on KJZ right when they start this morning at 8 o'clock here on 98.7 ESPN. George in Baltimore. Good morning, George. You're next up on 98.7.
Good morning. Good morning. Thanks for taking the call. Yeah, I've been a Giant fan since 1969, and, you know, I've seen it all, you know. And something, you know, that my dad taught me when I was very young was, you know, son, a quarterback is as good as his offensive line. And, you know, I'm not saying that the Giants receiver that they picked is not an excellent receiver. He's good. He's an excellent kid. He's good. But what I'm saying is I don't think the need was right there. I really believe that the need, if you were going to go offensive, you had to go offensive tackle or offensive line. And if you were going to go defense, you had to go Micah Parsons, which gives you a better pass rush. Okay? So if your defense don't have a pass rush, how are you going to play defense? And if your offense, you could put all the receivers you want around Danny Jones. You could put, you know, Saquon Barkley needs a quick, you know, he needs to hit the hole quick. It has to be open so he can do his cut.
George, is the draft done?
The ball out of the
is the draft over? Is it done? Is there not a second round that happens tonight where the Giants pick 42nd overall and they pick early in the second round tonight?
Great point. But I want to know from you gentlemen, what do you see out there? What do you see the Giants doing in the second round?
I think they're going to take an offensive lineman.
Time out for a quick second.
Let's not sit here and pretend like the Giants have neglected the offensive line. I mean, you drafted Andrew Thomas last year. You drafted Pert. You drafted Shane Lemieux. You got Nate Solder coming back.
Will Hernandez was like the second pick of the second round couple years ago.
Yep.
So, again, I mean, it was clear that they thought they needed a wide receiver with a certain skill set because Kenny Golladay is not the type of wide receiver that's going to get open quick. He's more of a huge catch radius, 50-50 balls, but it's going to take him a second. Tony is a guy jet sweeps behind the line of scrimmage. Like, he's going to be a safety valve for your quarterback, which is something that this offense didn't have at that position. And he helps you on special teams. I mean, people got to relax. It's the first round, man. We still got plenty of time. They can still address the offensive line.
And the board
should be able to get a starting offensive lineman at 42 tonight. Really good offensive
lineman.
Yeah,
Dave, the board fell to him. Like, all those offensive linemen that had first-round grades, you got four or five tackles, Dave, that are going to be in the second and third round. They fell out of the first round. They had first-round grades on them. I just don't understand why there's a need to panic if you're a Giants fan. There's plenty of good options for Dave Gettleman and Joe Judge to address that group up front.
I mean, if they get Landon Dickerson, who was a surefire first-round pick before he tore his ACL.
He's a day-one starter, Dave.
Right. I mean, you plug him in right away. So just, and I'm not saying that you can't be upset that they didn't, but just stop freaking out. Wait.
And Dave, have you seen Matt Parrott lately? Have you seen what he looks like?
Was he huge?
Oh my gosh. He's training with my old trainer out in Jersey. The kid looks great, man. I mean, listen, the Giants' offensive line, I'm expecting to be a lot better. I'm also expecting that tonight they address that group again. Because Dave Gettleman understands, in order for them to evaluate Daniel Jones, that offensive line can't be an issue like it was last year.
No, got to be better. Let's go to Joe in Saratoga. Good morning, Joe. Hello?
Joey.
Joe.
Now look at Santiago. He can't even help himself.
No. That's right. He's in a way because the Cowboys, in his estimation, really soiled themselves last night, and he's in a way about it.
Somebody draft Fields, you cowards!
Yeah, he's calling the coward. when Horn went, what, eight?
Eight to Carolina, which I still don't understand.
The second Horn went eight, I was like, oh my God, he's going to have a nervous breakdown. And I know that he did.
I know why he was going to have a breakdown, though. You can't trust the Cowboys and Jerry Jones to get out of their own way. And cornerback was the biggest need that team had. And there were two corners that were supposed to go in the top 10. It just felt like the Cowboys were going to get it right. And yet somehow they find a way to screw it up.
Tenenbaum's like, I don't know how they're going to cover anybody. They're never going to be able to get off the field.
That's a hell of a question, Dave. I don't know how they're going to figure that out.
So good. Mike and Seabright. Mike, you're next up on 98.7, buddy.
Yeah, good morning. So, still not fully over the Jets not having Trevor Lawrence, especially as a Clemson guy, but I like Wilson a lot. Like, I think he is, you know, he is talented. But seeing the Patriots get Mac Jones at 15 and Justin Fields tumbling down to the Bears at 11 kind of overshadows it, kind of, you know, puts a little damper on the Jets' draft, which I think was good overall, but
Mike, don't let that do that to you, man. Don't let that do that to you. You should be ecstatic that you got Zach Wilson. I mean, you're talking about a quarterback that might have the best arm talent in this entire draft. If you watch the way the ball comes out of his hands, I mean, it reminds you of Michael Vick in terms of how he can throw it, how quick his release is. Dan Orlovsky did this huge breakdown on NFL Live before the draft yesterday, and he's just showing it. And Zach Wilson, I mean, there's a lot to like. I mean, he's getting the ball out of his hands when he decides to pull the trigger in less than half a second. And having a quick release like that in the NFL and being able to push the ball to all zones on the field, all different quadrants, like, I just, from a physical standpoint, there's nothing that Zach Wilson can't do at the NFL level. As a Jets fan, you got to feel great about having a quarterback that has that kind of talent.
Can you imagine if he turns out to be really good?
Yeah, I don't think Jets fans can imagine it, Rico. That's why Jets fans have so much trepidation.
Because it never works out. And the caller says, Rick, he's like, you know, this, I'm unhappy with this, I'm unhappy with that.
How could you be unhappy? They did a great job in the first round.
They got a quarterback that everyone wanted. I mean, outside of Jacksonville, everyone wanted this guy. And they got, I think, an elite left guard. So I don't know how you couldn't be thrilled as a Jets fan today.
What it comes down to is this, is it Trevor Lawrence? No, it's not Trevor Lawrence. But if you believe in Joe Douglas, the new coaching staff, them continuing to put talent around Zach Wilson, then there's a really good chance that it'll work out. Because for a lot of these quarterbacks, that's what it comes down to. It's how they're coached and the amount of talent around them. Look at the difference between Baker Mayfield with Freddie Kitchens and you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Same team, different coach.
He's a good quarterback now.
Exactly right. That makes a huge difference. I spent at least an hour trying to figure out who Zach Wilson looked like. Because you look at his face, I'm like, God, he looks like somebody to me.
He looks like he's 11, by the way, but what does he look like to you?
Babyface killer.
Oh, my God.
Backstreet Boys.
Yes. Oh, Nick Carter. Lance Bass?
No, not Lance Bass. Nick Carter. Backstreet Boys.
He looks Lance Bassish.
No, he does not look good. Look up Nick Carter. He looks like Nick Carter.
I know Nick
Carter.
He's
a good looking
dude. With the brother.
Yeah, with Aaron Carter. Yeah. He's a good looking dude. I'm just hoping. The one thing I didn't like he said, he's like, oh, I'm just really happy to get out of Utah and live somewhere else. I can't wait for New York City. I was like, oh, no.
Explore all it has to offer.
This kid's going on Rumspringa. He's going to be wild.
All it has to offer.
Like that kind of party?
I mean, it's going to be the party here. Enjoy it. Go out. Explore the nightlife.
Don't do that. No, don't do that.
Why?
I already had to deal with one quarterback getting mono. Making out all over the place. Don't do that to me.
Making out all over the place.
Oh, my gosh. If that happened, oh, my gosh.
The one thing you can't play with.
Mono.
Giving him some crabs or something?
You can play with crabs. That can't be real. Who gets mono?
What?
You can play with something else. You can't play with mono.
Nobody gets mono anymore. All right. I don't want – Cassanti's in a bad way already. I don't want to give him no time. I want to give him enough time because there's a lot of ways he could go today. And here he is with the three stars.
Today's three stars of DCR.
I'm just going to preface this. Dave, you're gloating an awful lot for a team. Listen, with things that have happened in the past with guys like DeAndre Baker and considering Tony's past, I don't know. I don't know if I would gloat as much as you. Here's looking forward to Jason Garrett running the four jet sweeps a game that gained a total of 15 yards. Anyway.
All right,
number
Mr. Misery. I'm in a great way. I got the Bears number one pick and a stud receiver. Continue along.
You should be celebrating your 6-for-6, which is the star for three.
7-for-7.
Actually, that's right. 7-for-7 in the getting to know you. That's a rare feat. I should give Chris the honorable mention for going 6-for-7 in his case, though. Nice job out of both of you.
Number two,
the Roger Goodell chair at the, what's the word again, Dave? Is it a stage?
They
call that a stage, and this led to great things like this.
And now look at this obese man that's going to sit in the chair. Those were huge fat people.
Number one.
And that leads us to star number one, which is sleep. You know, you guys live in my world a little bit where you have two, one, maybe less hours of sleep per night. And look at how it had you coming out of the gate today.
Time out. What does that mean?
We've been top shelf today.
Now we're just getting fugazi with this list. How is Varlamov not getting a star today?
I don't even know what the number one star was. It was sleep. Yes, is the number one the star?
Yes, sleep. Because Islanders. You guys see now how valuable the sleep is.
Yes, sleep is a star.
Sleep
is a star.
What a nonsensical list.
Varlamov, number one star.
No,
way. I don't know who that is. We don't acknowledge that here.
Thank you.
The face of the earth right now. But sleep is the number one star is really a horrendous job by you.
I can't disagree with him the way I feel right now.
KJZ, Bart Scott, right now, and it's rule 76.
No excuses. Play like a champion. It's DPHO, Canty Rothenberg, and
everybody
on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DPHO, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DPHO, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.